Welcome to Silicon Valley Business Connections, brought to you by the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, where diversity and opportunity are one. From education to employment, entrepreneurship to innovation, this program is your weekly connection to the latest trends and opportunities taking place all across Silicon Valley. Host Carl Davis Jr. talks to the rock stars of Silicon Valley and offers you engaging interviews and insights from local, regional, and internationally acclaimed business leaders, entrepreneurs, and community leaders to help you stay connected. Now, here's your host, Carl Davis Jr.
Hi, I'm Carl Davis Jr., and welcome to Silicon Valley Business Connections. I'm your host, but I'm also the president of the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce, where we help all small businesses start, finance, grow, and even exit their businesses. The best way to reach us and find out what we do is go to our website at blackchamber.com. That's blackchamber.com. I always have special guests. And man, today I got a very, very special guest, a young man I met in Florida myself in Miami by the name of Marco Cecetto. And Marco, believe it or not, he's the fastest marathon runner on two prosthetics in the world. I'm going to say that again. He's the fastest marathon runner on two prosthetics in the world. I want our Silicon Valley Business Connections audience to meet Mr. Marco Cecetto. How you doing, Marco?
I'm doing pretty good, Carl. How are you?
Man, Marco, you know, I'm excited about talking to you. And I know when people get a chance to hear your story, they're going to be more encouraged and they're going to be excited to know even who you are. But before we dive into what you do, Marco, you got to tell me a little bit about your story. Who is Marco Cecetto? Who are you, Marco? Tell me your story.
Marco Cecetto, this is a Kenyan man, grew up in a rural part of Kenya, a place called Kapenguria. And, you know, I went to school in Kenya, went to high school in Kenya, and I went to a two-year teacher training college in Kenya. Mm-hmm. As a runner, you know, in Kenya, that's how we do our things. You run from one place to another. So I was this runner who really didn't have big ambitions of wanting to pursue his running career, but just go to school. I remember those old days, and when I say old days, it's the year 2000. In my village, it was still recorded that, you know, somebody who is athletic is not very smart enough in class. But for me, I did everything. So while I was in college, I met a college coach from Texas Tech University who approached me after I finished running a 10K and said, "Hey, Marco, do you want to come to the U.S. on athletics scholarship?" And coming from a rural village in Kenya, who would not want to go to America? I said, yes. The challenge was the accent. You know, English, you know, the accent was not what I am used to or I was used to then. So there are so many things that he told me that I don't know if I understood. He gave me a business card and I don't even know what it was. Mm-hmm. Graduated college, went home because I did not understand really what he said or what he wanted me to do. I gave him my physical address. So he sent me a newsletter from the school and a note saying, "Are you still interested in athletic scholarship at Texas Tech University?" So that made a lot of sense because I could read. So wow. did my application. But by the time I finished the application, they didn't have the scholarship that they had because it took forever. I had to travel to places, to the internet, to reply and all that. Mm-hmm. But the coach was kind enough. So he referred me to a friend in Iona College, New York, one of his friends. Mm-hmm. But his friend had applied for a job at the University of Alaska, Anchorage. And that is how I ended up to Alaska. Yes. Connections, just like we connected down in Miami.
So let me get a story. So the guy from Texas introduced you to the guy from New York who was applying for something in Alaska.
And as an assistant coach, yes.
In Alaska. And so he said, will you come to Alaska with me, huh? Or come and run in Alaska, huh?
Yeah.
And you went to Alaska. How long did you run, or did you go to college there?
I went to college. I completed my – so I went to Alaska 2008 and graduated in 2013 with my undergraduate in nutrition. I started as a nursing student, but then ended up graduating with nutrition. But then I graduated with my graduate in 2018 in engineering and science management.
Oh, good. So now tell me about this. And I know my listeners, they're dying to hear your story about what happened. Tell me what happened in Alaska to why you had to get the prosthetic legs.
While I was in Alaska, I recommended one of my cousins who was still back in Kenya, very good runner, to the coach that this is a good investment. He's a good runner here. So what about recruiting him to join us in the team? And we have quite a number of Kenyans in Alaska, believe it or not. So he recruited. 2010, he came to Alaska. 2011, a Friday the 18th, February, he called me. My cousin called me, said, hey, can we talk? I was working at a sports complex, and I said, hey, we could do it later. But then went home that night, and he had hanged himself. And no warning, no red flags, nothing. And that threw me into a major, major depression. So then, you know, they're trying to help me, hospitalized. And so I went to the hospital, but it didn't help. 2011, I went for a run. But going for this run, I had taken some antidepressants. An overdose on antidepressants. And went for a run, passed out. Woke up in the middle of, I don't know if it was a night or what, I just woke up from this unconsciousness that I didn't know I was for all that time. Walked and I stumbled a hotel that was close to where I had maybe passed out. And the guy asked me, somebody was at the lobby, said, where have you been for 3 days? And that is how I realized how long I was missing.
Wow.
And went to the hospital, and the doctors, unfortunately, could not save my legs. They were frozen. I didn't have any. And that is how I lost my feet.
Oh, my goodness. For almost
so
3 days.
60 hours, November in Alaska, single digit temperatures. I am grateful to be alive today.
Oh, man. So tell me, so after they told you the bad news about that, and they had to take your legs, tell me their recovery and what you, you know, what were you thinking? And when that happened, were you, I know you were depressed before, but my goodness, how did you get through that?
A thought came into me in my hospital bed, and I just realized if I had control of everything in life, including my cousins from dying, wouldn't I have controlled or prevented the loss of my legs? And that is how my recovery started. I realized in life, there are some things that will happen and I don't have any control over. The only things that I can, you know, there are so many things that we think we have control over, but sometimes we don't.
Yes.
So then I focused on what I can control. And I told myself, I am an amputee and this is how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And I will not let this incident, that a one incident in my life defined who I am. So I just started from there and always encouraged myself, looked life, you know, positively. But that doesn't mean that everything was going as I wanted. There were bumps, ups and downs.
Right.
But then that was also teaching me that in life, that is what the definition of life is, ups and downs. But the key is just getting focused, making sure that you have your goals and executing them. Not only having them, but making sure that you put those goals into action. And that is how I did. 2018, ran my first marathon in New York, 2:53. Went to Boston, 2019, ran a marathon, 2 hours, 42 minutes. And then Chicago, November October on that year, 2019, and ran my fastest marathon time. 2 hours, 37 minutes, and 23 minutes. And that is where I got the title, the fastest man on two prosthetics.
Wow. Man, this is an amazing story, Marco. But there is something I want to go back to and say, when you didn't have your legs and they put the prosthetics on your legs, did you have to get different prosthetics if you were going to run, or were those the same kind? Or tell us how that transition went from the first one to where you start running.
You know, I started from the regular walking prosthetic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then once I had mastered that, there is actually a non-profit in California, the Challenge mm-hmm. Athlete Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I applied a grant through them. They gave me running blades. And then I started, that was March of 2012. Then I started running, you know, was able to run. And the best feeling about my first run on those blades was sweating. When I started sweating again, you know, that old feeling that I had as a college athlete, I was like, yes, I got this. And it propelled me and gave me a realization that, you know what? I might have lost my feet, but I still have my inner power.
Yes.
All I need to propel me is inside. And that is what I kept in me. I said, I still have that. And my faith in God that saved me for those 60 hours that I was outside. And so, yes, there are two different prosthetics, the walking ones and now the blades, the running ones.
Running one, man, what a story, man. I just want to say, I'm sure people want to know more about you and how to connect with you. Do you have like a YouTube or something that you can share with our audience that they can, one, hear your story again, share it with other people and encourage other people? Is there a YouTube or things you got that people can connect with you, Marco?
Yes, I have a YouTube channel. You just Google Marco Cesare. And you will find my YouTube channel. I also, you know, they can also follow me on social media, just at Marco Cesare. So on my Facebook, it's all Marco Cesare. I also have a website. It's MarcoCesare.com.
And I'm going to spell that for the Marco, M-A-R-K-O, like you would, but Cesare is C-H-E-S-E-T-O. Mr. Marco Cesare. Marco, I know we stopped a little bit when you were talking about the two different types of prosthetics. Can you just dive into that for just a minute or so?
You know, the prosthetics, it's just they're trying to mimic a biological foot. You know, prosthetics is not anywhere close to a biological foot. So the walking ones, they have a heel. So it helps a person who has an amputation to stand still. But on the running ones, they don't have a heel. So you kind of just swinging, you know, you have to be moving all these times, still trying to mimic. Remember, as a runner, able-bodied runner, you use all aspects of your foot, your big toe, all your toes. If you want to run on your toes, you can. If you want to go on your heels, you can. But as an amputee, we don't have that luxury of adjusting anything. You just put them on and they are always fitted in a lab. There's no way they can factor the geographical terrain of wherever we go and run. So that you have to go figure out as an amputee out there.
Now, when you first started off, when you got that feeling, when you went from the walking ones to the running ones and you started sweating and you got back on the track, right? And what was your, tell me about your first race. I mean, your first race, you didn't practice well enough to where you were confident enough, but was your first race something that was a big challenge? And did you do a marathon at first, or did you just do like a 100-yard dash or something?
I did a 100-meter dash with my coach, my assistant coach then at the University of Alaska. And I, you know, we were like, let's see. I think I can still beat you in a 100-meter field race, which we went neck to neck. I still have a video somewhere. And that was when I really realized that, you know what? even though they are not giving me exactly what my biological feet would have given me, mm-hmm. but I can still do it. I still have an alternative. It's not like I am running out of options in life. You know, they say there's always plan B or C, or but you know, the alphabet has 26 letters. So there are more than two options in life.
I love that, Marco. And you know, Marco, your story and how you're telling it to me, I mean, we met and you were in Miami with me where you met my good friend Marlon Smith, and he's been on the show before, and Marlon's a motivational speaker. You know, Marco, you have motivational speaking in you. Do you know that?
Yes, I do. And I actually, I started doing speaking immediately after I lost my feet. Mm-hmm. I did some live TV interviews, and the focus for me is on mental health. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, it's very hard subject for someone to accept and say, you know what, I am a mental health survivor.
Yeah.
And share, because we get asked so difficult questions that sometimes it's hard to answer. Why did you want to kill yourself? Why did you? But then at the same time, this is a disease. And instead of us, as people who have had a mental breakdown, getting upset about the entire society or some of the society asking that way, I felt myself that I think it will be upon me as a mental health survivor to be able to speak up for those who are not able to present their stories, so that we are able to help people who are struggling with mental health, being a champion in that. So I started my speaking engagement. But I was still a student then. I was still at F1, you know, international student. So I couldn't, like, really do anything like start a business. So I was doing a lot of voluntary speaking. Mm-hmm. But now I have my speaking engagement, and I have a business. It's called Marathon Marco LLC, and so people can book me and I can come and share my story. But the goal is to normalize mental health and make sure that we can freely speak about it. And I always tell people who have had a mental health and maybe are not willing to speak about it, think of it this way. There are people who don't exercise. They don't do anything. They get diabetes or hypertension and they go to a doctor. Those people don't stop outside the hospital and say, what if a doctor asked me when you were sitting down all these years, did you know that you are killing yourself? And that is where the narrative, I think, should change.
Yeah.
How to ask this question, how to approach them, because this is a collective community effort that if we all can come together, have a way of asking them, not stigmatizing it, but accepting. We've seen even in sports world, in the recent Olympics, some athletes, like big stars, were able to freely speak about their mental health. And we want to normalize, just like a heart attack, just it is a disease and it needs help, and the help is there. And that is why if mental health was something that we would say, hey, Carl, you can deal with it, we won't be having psychiatrists.
Right.
Like, why would somebody go to school for so many years to study for something that doesn't exist?
Right. Your story, man, and all the things you're touching on, the mental health aspect. And I didn't want to leave out what you said earlier, and I thought I heard you right. You know, you study nutrition. I think nutrition's very, very important. We're talking about mentally being healthy, physically being healthy. You said God bless you with something in your mind, so spiritually being healthy. So when you give a message like that, Marco, I can just see you wrapping all that into, and I got the name down, Marathon Marco LLC, so folks can hear that. Marathon Marco, M-A-R-K-O, LLC, they can reach you. So you have a website, and I know there's a number and stuff like that. And I love the fact, though, that you tied it to some goals. You know, can you speak a little bit about goal setting? And it doesn't have to be complex, but that's what takes you from one stage to the next stage and where you go. Speak about that.
Yes, I know. We always say, you know, have a goal in life. The challenge that I've realized with most people is they have a goal, but then they don't have an execution plan. Mm. You have to set. Everybody has a goal in life.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the planet, they have a goal, but there is no execution. Just like when I lost my feet, mm-hmm. I had a goal of running again. But how would I run again? So you plan your execution, training every day, setting that alarm clock for 5 a.m. and not snoozing it when it goes off. So write a plan. In 5 years' time, I want, like I'm doing now, I'm saying, you know, I started in 2018, like seriously, 2019. I want to get my speaking engagement to a level that, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of folks out there can reach out to me so that I can give them all this message. But how am I going to do that? Have a website. You know, reach out to mentors like yourself, somebody who can help me get this message out. And so have an execution plan and just execute it. Do it. And have a timeline too, because, you know, time is of essence. You can't just have a goal and say, yes, I'm going to execute it and not put it in a smart way. You know, and when I say a smart way, it's something specific, measurable, attainable. You can have those things in place, then you'll, you know, I think that goal is going to be achieved. And all these experiences about goal setting, I base it on my running career.
Mm.
For me to be able to lose my feet again, come back, and being able now to say, I am the fastest man
wow.
on the planet. And
wow.
you know, I didn't even know that as an amputee, big companies like Nike, you know, I
yes.
am a Nike athlete too.
Yes.
So I'm a sponsored Nike athlete. And you know, it's that goal that I had, you know. And sometimes we goal setting and money.
Mm-hmm.
But then I wanted to tell people, yes, setting a goal with a money mindset is a good thing. But let the money part not come first. Do the part that it's going to sell itself out there. And then, like, I am hoping today somebody listens to me and goes, man, I think this guy is a good motivational speaker. I am putting my money on him. Because oh. how can people put their money where there's no product to put their money?
I love that, man. And the fact that you said earlier about do it, and that lined up exactly with Mikey, Nike. You know how Nike's just do it. And you talked about sponsorship. You know, we're almost at the end of our show right now, but I want those out there who are hearing this story, hearing this sort of encouraging a message that Marco's giving, I want you to be able to reach out to him. So I'm going to ask him real quick again to say where he's at, how you can reach him on YouTube, his website. And then we're going to close with Marco, you know, people hearing the message, not being able to hear it all or heard somebody talk about it. You can get it on our podcast. So how can people reach you, Marco? One more.
You know, I have a website,
mm-hmm.
MarcoCicero.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then my YouTube channel is Marco Cicero. All my social media platforms, Marco Cicero. I just made it just one simple name. So then you just click Marco Cicero and you can find everything you need right there. And I'm based in Orlando.
Oh, Marco, that's it, man. Boy, I love it. We're going to have to bring you back on. We're out of time right now. We want to thank our guest today, Mr. Marco Cicero. And, you know, you can hear this show again via our podcast. All you have to do is go to blackchamber.com. That's www.blackchamber.com. Click on radio show and podcast.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Business Connections with Carl Davis Jr. and brought to you by the Silicon Valley Black Chamber of Commerce. More information about today's show is available by going to the Chamber's website, blackchamber.com. That's blackchamber.com. Or call 408-288-8806. That's 408-288-8806. Copies of our podcast are available online at blackchamber.com. If you would like to know more about a specific guest or make recommendations for upcoming guests and topics, email info@blackchamber.com. Keeping you connected, Silicon Valley Business Connections.